Hey everybody, before your show, this is Alex Gellhart from the Fantasy Live Podcast telling you to check out our latest episode where we dive deep into the rookie wide receiver class for 2016. Names like Laquon Treadwell, Josh Doctson, Sterling Shepard, Corey Coleman. What can you expect from them this year? We break it down. Check out the latest episode on iTunes, NFL.com/podcast, or your favorite podcast app.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program presented by our pals at McDonald's. We got a little McDonald's treat coming up for you. Money Monopoly presenting the all-time draft of 2016, picks 11 through 16 coming up. Plus, we're going to look at Ike Taylor's mock draft. It's been out for a week or two. We're going to pour over that, and we'll poke some holes in it. We have much to discuss here. Handsome Hank, Ike Taylor here. Let's jump into it real fast, fellas, with what do we call this thing? The lightning round, the onside kick, whatever we call it. Let's get into it. Starting off with Aqib Talib, who visited us in Studio 66 a matter of weeks ago. He recently made this declaration. I don't see why we can't go back and repeat that. Agree or disagree, Ike Taylor? Can the Broncos, with this who knows who's going to be their starting QB, what do you think about their shot in 2016?
Yeah, I think they got opportunities. I think it's going to be hard. Harder than it was last year. I think timing was just perfect for them. I think teams on the offensive side now have a whole year under Wade Phillips and see exactly what he's doing down the distance in certain situations, so they're going to be ready to game plan against that. So it's always harder the year after you win a Super Bowl to kind of make that statement again. Teams try to dissect how you beat them, what you did. Do you have tendencies going into the game? So we're going to see. I think they can, but it's definitely going to be way harder.
I think that's an interesting point about the strategies and the adjustments the league will make to Wade. Handsome Hank, how say you?
I mean, they lost a few pieces, but the story I keep hearing from people is, whoa, how are they going to win a Super Bowl with Mark Sanchez at the helm? They had Peyton Manning last year, and Peyton Manning was not better than Mark Sanchez.
I agree with that, but as they are presently constituted, the problem for the Broncos is that they're going to regress to the average number of touchdowns that the defense scores. Maybe they'll be a little bit better than usual, but they won 4 or 5 games on the defensive
at
touchdowns.
Least.
That's not going to happen, obviously. Statistically, it's highly unlikely. Next up, Marv Lewis gets an extension from the Cincinnati Bengals. I say on Twitter that, all right, I mean, a guy who's achieved so little really has kept his job in an era when guys are getting pushed out the door. How has this guy kept it? Isn't it fair to expect them to win a playoff game already after 13 years, Handsome Hank?
I mean, yeah, I think he's had more rope than most coaches get, but at the same time, he's taken to the playoffs the last, 4 years?
All right, but he's 0-7 in the playoffs. How can he continue, this guy continue to go year after year without some, I mean, this would not
question,
fly.
Whenever you ask me this question, and it could be about a player, it can be about a coach, it can be, what's the alternative? Who are you bringing in to replace him that you know that's going to get you over the hump?
There are many alternatives. And look at the Tony Dungy to
John Gruden.
That's
the best example.
Look at what happened in Tampa. Ike, how say you?
I mean, you could look at the Bill Cowher to Mike Tomlin effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, and to your point, man, it's kind of hard to replace him. But I feel you feel like, hey, man, you've been there a long time, and you can't win a playoff game. You have a lot of talent, and you can't win a playoff game. If I'm just looking at it from afar, man, I'm like, man, he must know somebody in that office. Like, he must know something about somebody who did some kind of dirt. Because, man, he's getting extensions after extensions.
The only reason he keeps the gig, the excuse I always get for people who defend him is, well, look at what the Bengals were before he got there. All right, well, so then now he's a victim of his own success, and now the standard has to be elevated. Would you be able to get away with going to the playoffs and losing 7 times in 13 years if you were the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach, if you were the Green Bay Packers, if you were the Niners? People just wouldn't stand for it at some point. There's got to be raised expectations.
You just said it. Expectations. Obviously, the expectations are high, but you're not even putting forth to that kind of work, man. You're just losing 7 playoff games, man. 7. You know they'd be coming for Coach Tomlin head if he lost 7.
It's absolutely
but that's
right.
A different standard. You guys are talking about a Steelers player fan.
By the end of the day, man, you draft, you build your organization to try to win that Lombardi. That's everybody.
I know. Well, our pal Bucky Brooks
everybody
floats the idea that, hey, the goal is to get to the postseason. No, no, Bucky. It's not. The goal is to get the Lombardi Trophy. And
yes,
I understand some teams are far away from it, so they have to take a season to build towards that. But if you are the Cincinnati Bengals, the expectation is Lombardi or bust.
Because by the end of the day, you're looking at the roster like, man, they got an all-star roster. And they've been having an all-star roster for a couple of years now. So it's like, okay, you took them when they weren't doing too good. You finally get your team. You've been having this all-star roster and still 0-7 in the playoffs. Something ain't right. Something got to change. So I don't like talking about coaches like that, but at the same time, we talking about on the Dave Damashek show. So Coach Marv, man, you got to at least win your one. Now when Coach Tomlin is at the coach head coaching position. So, I don't know. Go 0-8.
I like Kobe's last game or the Warriors' quest for number 73, Ike Taylor, which will you watch?
Chef Steph.
Steph.
Chef Steph's in the Warriors, man. Kobe, man, stop.
I agree. Kobe should have stopped 3 years
Kobe,
ago.
Stop.
It's ridiculous already. In L.A., I get people who are Lakers fans. I don't understand the nation.
Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Black Mamba.
Ain't
nothing like the Black Mamba, but a whole season contributed to the Black – a whole season.
Two whole seasons.
Livelihoods. Other people's livelihoods. Other people's livelihoods. Like, you don't know if Byron Scott going to be there next year. We don't know. That's not a for sure. Like, a whole season. A whole season.
Yes.
To one guy, a whole season.
Ridiculous.
Whole season.
Did you even get one game, Ike Taylor, before you walked out the door?
Man, they gave me roller skates when I said I was walking. Hurry up. Hurry up.
Handsome Hank, I'll say you.
Neither. I'm not going to watch either.
I figured as much. Shouldn't they, though, Handsome, when the Patriots were chasing 16-0, isn't this, if you're the Golden State Warriors, this conversation about whether or not they should go for the record – I mean, to me, it's obvious. I don't understand the argument against going
for anything like that is, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't win this week. Whatever sport it is, like, you go for the record, not because you're going for a record. You go for a record because you want to win a game.
Hey, the Colts, the Packers, they've benched guys in week 17 and week 16, even week 15. I think that's an unwise maneuver. Ike, how's
it? The only knock about going for these records, if you never win the big game.
Right.
So – you don't bring home that championship back.
But they got the ring last year, so they're
that was last year. So what have you done for me now? Kind of business. So, I mean, you break this record, this regular season record with the records, and you don't bring home the trophy. So it's like, which one do you want? So, I think they can do both. To be honest,
well, of course they have to win the title, but
you got to win a title.
If you have a chance to go down as the unquestioned greatest team of all time, why you wouldn't go for that is mind-boggling.
You got
to
go for that.
Yeah. Oh, it's the emotional pressure of having to do that.
We talk about us as analysts and the media. That's what we like, the emotional pressure. But these guys,
that's exactly right.
They've been going. There's no such thing as pressure. You can just look in Chef Steph's vein, man. Like, he got nothing but ice.
These 25-year-old multimillionaires, I'm worried that they're emotionally fragile and won't be able to rise for the playoffs. Handsome Hank, so there you go, our lightning round, and now let's dig into to the mock draft,
we can call
the
all-time draft. Drill.
The two-minute drill?
That's really original. I don't think that's being done anywhere.
I also don't think that was 2 minutes long. Right. I think we went a little bit beyond that. What about if we called it, audibles. Let's just move on. Let's say hello.
You're struggling.
First of all, to our resident Miami Dolphins fan, you should be excited because in the all-time draft today, the Miami Dolphins will be making a selection from a pool of all players in the history of pro football. Here he is, everybody. It's Handsome Hank.
He's handsome. Where did the ball go?
It made someone bleed.
I thought when you threw the ball, it was supposed to go through the little hole.
Well,
it just disappeared.
Here's the deal. If we'd made that I could have made that happen, but I would have broken a camera.
Make sure you tune in on YouTube and watch the full show. It is available for you there, and you can see Handsome's 007 style intro that accompanies that.
He got the best
intro. See, Ike's got an intro now, and we're about to hear that.
It's horrible.
You don't have a video.
You play games.
Wait, not the new one.
I got two intros.
One do you want?
Do you want the original or the revised one?
He's not
going to play the bad one today.
Which one do you want? You choose it.
Your mind already made up. I'm not about to play this game with you.
Whichever one you want, Ike.
Check. I'm not about to play
this
game.
All right. Play his intro song here. Oh, there you go. That's the fancier one.
This thing is crazy, man.
You don't like this one, though, Ike. See? Number 24 has got a million days. I Taylor. You don't enjoy that one, Ike.
Yeah.
There you go, fella. There you go. Now you're getting into it. Who do you think's a better dancer, Ike?
How hot, Dave.
Why are you sweating?
Look how hot Dave is. What's happened?
You told me I needed to move on, and that made me feel ashamed.
You need an old Southern church fan. Church fan. That's what you need. You need a church fan. You need my grandma church fan.
You had one too many Big Macs today, didn't you?
Well, no. I don't know what's going on. Aren't you guys hot in here?
Well, you got a long sleeve plus another long sleeve under the.
Yeah.
Speaking of Big Macs. I like your male version of your Vanna White presented by.
Yeah, that's what I like. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Ike, did you watch the Masters?
Yes.
Did you?
Why do you think I said, give me that green jacket last time we was on the Dave Dameshek show?
Yeah, I know. Well, we requested and we received a Photoshop of you on Twitter in the green jacket presenting what you that you said that you would serve at the banquet the following year, sushi and crawdaddies.
Crawfish.
Crawdaddies isn't acceptable with the locals?
The thing is crawdaddies.
What? I don't understand. That's what I thought the people in NOLA called it.
Crawfish. We never say crawdaddies.
Ike, this conversation, I know we've had it before, but I'm always fascinated by it when people reject the notion, when analysts reject the idea that professional athletes don't feel pressure. Clearly,
right.
You can train. I mean, have you seen an implosion like that in the NFL? Is there something comparable to that, to what we saw the Jordan Spieth do there on Sunday?
The Donovan McNabb deal.
Oh, yeah. He threw up on the field in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
that was a good one.
Yeah, other than that. That's the only thing right now I just can put my mind into that kind of trance. Nah, I wouldn't say that was.
You see kickers where the moment gets too big for them.
That wasn't pressure. He's won under pressure a lot, obviously. So all of a sudden, he's just not immune to pressure. He probably overthought his swing, overthought the situation, and he had a few lapses. That's all it was, but. I can't say he can't deal with pressure because he's one of lot of times in pressure situations. So I just can't abracadabra. No, now this is the biggest stage. Like this man been winning big tournaments, big championships for the past couple of years.
Well, let's marry it to this then. Let's marry it to Andy Dalton. Let's pick up where we were 5 months or so ago.
Five minutes ago, back
to that. Andy Dalton now, so Marv Lewis's short-term future, although I don't know that A.J. McCarron doesn't get a crack at that if Andy Dalton doesn't struggle a little bit there. Doesn't Andy Dalton now, going into this, informed by his career, this assumption that he doesn't feel pressure because he's a pro athlete, pro athletes understand as they go into the huddle in big games, wow, I'm known for not coming up big in these spots. That has to weigh on a pro athlete, yes? How lucid are you in a pressure situation like, wow, I better not blow this or this is going to be embarrassing for me?
See, I felt like that every play.
Really?
Yeah, every playing cornerback, you have no other choice
right.
but to feel like that. Like, it can't be me today. It got to be somebody else.
But if you're going against a guy that's beaten you before or there's a moment that, like, it's been documented that you don't do well, is it in a player's mind like, oh, every time I play against this guy?
No, because you're always trying to prove yourself different from what everybody else is saying.
Right.
Like, you always in that. I tweeted something a couple of weeks ago. I'm in the business of proving people wrong. Like, that's the mentality mm-hmm. usually professional athletes have. Because that either you were too short, too slow, didn't have all the intangibles. If you just look at the report they had on Stephon Curry when he was coming out of college from Davidson, don't think he wasn't paying attention right. to that.
Tom Brady, however many years he is still references like, that still comes
Antonio
up.
Antonio Brown, he was a late round guy. So They look at all that.
Well, I hate the cliche. I've said it many times. No one outside this locker room believes in us, but it really does seem to be a motivating thing for guys. But the other side of that is, don't opponents win Tony Romo? Let's say his team's down four and there's 2 minutes left in the game. Do the defenders yell to Tony Romo, "You're going to choke again," like you always do? Do people do that?
Nah.
Really? Nobody brings that up? Like, oh, you always choke, man.
Shaq, we paint that picture. So we make the last 4 minutes or the last 2 minute drive an issue. The first 2 minutes of that game is more important or is equally important than the last 2 minutes. So missing the field goal the first 2 minutes and losing the game by three the last 2 minutes is like, dang. And that's the coaching point. Your coaching point, you always go back to the beginning of the game. Yeah, you like to finish strong, but the beginning of the game is always who's starting fast. So
yeah, but the other side of that is
you can't other side of that.
Why? Yeah, I can.
How?
Because if you fail throughout the game, if your team's still in the game and you have a chance to pull it out, you get to be the hero. You're the gunslinging hero.
Well, when you start fast, you don't have to worry about that situation.
That's true. That's true. I think Peyton Manning.
Given the opportunity, you'd like to have that kind of guy that can pull it out even against all.
And that's a rare guy. So getting back to Andy Dalton, he haven't done it. So that's what I'm saying with Speed. Like, Speed have done it. Mm-hmm. He's done it a lot of times. He cracked the pressure code. Well, Andy Dalton ain't cracked yet. It's still 0-7.
I think that's just what looms for me is, and I don't know if you're Marvin Lewis, if you're a head coach, how that permeates the way you operate, but I do think it actually would affect your decision-making in a game. Look at some of the decisions he made in that Pittsburgh game in the wild card round this year, some questionable decisions that he made. But if you're Andy Dalton, certainly it doesn't make a difference how great you are in the regular season. You still get to January, and it's still going to be you better win this game. Yeah. Andy's going to wake up in the playoffs if he gets to the playoffs this year, which I think is questionable in 2016. But let's say the Bengals get back to the postseason. He's going to wake up on playoff day and say, like, it doesn't make a difference if I'm the league's MVP. I better win this game or else shame the devil, right?
Yeah, that's going to always linger him until he actually win a game.
Like, right, but it's going to negatively affect his performance until he does, right?
I don't know about affecting his performance. I don't know his mindset. So I don't know if he take that as a challenge. Like, dang, win a playoff game yet. I'm going to go out and kick butt. We're going to win this playoff game. Then, oh, man, I got to win this game. If not, that's all they're going to say. I couldn't win the playoff game. Like, I don't know his mindset. But what I see on his resume is you get to the big games, you don't show up.
I think most people are the former. I think most people are like, man, or the latter, I should say. I think most people are like, man, I've got a lot of pressure on me. I better not blow this one again.
See, how can you say that? And during the regular season, he closes out games.
Oh, right. He did it a couple of times. He did it against
the Eagles.
He did it enough times.
His defense, like, he closed out a few games, so how all of a sudden in the postseason, even though he's 0-1 whatever, he can't win the big ball game.
I think the more interesting thing for him, or an interesting thing to watch for him, is that he definitely gained confidence being around Hugh Jackson for the last 2 years.
I think that's – people aren't talking about this.
Hugh Jackson being taken away from him, and, you know, can he retain that kind of like Andy Dalton – when you watched Andy Dalton, I remember there was a sound effects, I think, the first week of last season where Andy Dalton, you know, was mic'd up for the game, and you're like, wow, that's not a guy that inspires a lot of confidence. He might look like he's carrying himself that way, but his words aren't necessarily the same thing. I wonder if he'll even be carrying himself that way.
Body language, right. Says a lot, and Hugh was a lot to that offense. I'm talking about, we like to call it putting a battery pack on somebody. So somebody who really ain't got a lot of confidence, put that battery pack on them because you have a lot of confidence and it might be a little bit contagious to the whole locker room. That was huge to the offensive staff and to the offensive side. So now we was talking about when I was talking about A.J. McLaren, like, hey, man, this dude can lead them to the promised land. And the reason why I was saying that because I feel like he was just back in Alabama, like cool, calm, and he had Hugh. On his side. So
we didn't have the baggage of the previous seasons, the previous January.
Exactly.
That's my point.
When my head coach say, my second string quarterback is not for sale, I'm going to scratch my head.
How big a deal is that? Because the one that jumps to mind is Buddy Ryan leaving the 85 Bears and then the 86 Bears, in fact, being a little bit better statistically at least. How big a factor? Is there some sort of a carryover that Hugh Jackson's offense will still be in place in 2016, or is this going to be a major deficit that they're going to have to try and figure out?
I think so. I think it's going to be major. I think Hugh was that guy. Like, as a head coach, I don't know what he's going to present to the table. He got a second chance, and I hope he rock with it. But some guys are just good at being offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators. I get that. I know for that offensive coordinator position, man, it wasn't nobody better than Hugh so far. It's like consistent other than Coach Todd, because Coach Todd has been a head coach, and right now he's been offensive
coordinator. Todd Haley.
And when Coach Todd Haley is offensive coordinator, well, he's rolling. When he's a head coach, it's a little bit different.
By the way, that is a hidden little piece of that AFC North puzzle, is that the Steelers, for what it's worth, they might have had some guys move on and otherwise, but they did retain the entire coaching staff. That's got to matter for something.
I said on my radio show this morning, Steelers coaching staff. You got Coach Munchak was a head coach, Hall of Fame offensive line coach. Ty Haley was a head coach. Now he's the offensive coordinator. Had Dick LeBeau a couple of years ago. Was a head coach, Hall of Fame coach. Now, Coach Tomlin, man, he got an all-star staff over there. So when you see the productivity on the offensive side, it's like, damn, let me see who the coaching staff is. So you got Munchak head coach, Ty Haley head coach. Like, damn, he got two head coaches over there. Mm-hmm. So really, I got three head coaches over there. Coach T is just the head coach, if you know what I'm saying. So, man, when you got a guy like Hugh just disappearing in that building, his name been talked about for the past couple of years. Just overall in the football world, everybody know Coach Hugh. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody know Coach Hugh. They know his game plan. They know he know how to work with his players. They know his players like him. And for Cincinnati to take that big of a hit, I don't think they're going to understand until the actual regular season ball game come, that first regular season ball
game. I think that's a legitimate red flag. All right, let's move on now to Ike's mock draft. Like I say, it came out, I think, a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Like two and a half.
Let's hack this thing up a little bit here. Handsome, you and me, let's look at some of the picks here and raise the question.
I changed like six of them, but let's go.
What do you mean you changed them already?
I had to go to a mock 2.0.
Oh, you already – where's the 2.0?
It haven't came out yet. We're getting it edited right now.
Uh-oh. Are the Eagles pick at number eight there? They're taking my guy Howard out of IU. Is that one of the changes you're making?
Yes. It's one of the changes I'm making because I feel like there's other guys who wasn't talked about earlier in the draft. Now teams are starting to talk about it. I got an opportunity to talk to one of my coaches in Pittsburgh. Had a three-hour talk with this guy, and he broke down every – He damn near gave me his board.
And does he have some insight on, let's say, the Dallas Cowboys at number four there? I love the Zeke Elliott pick. I think it's awfully hard to pass up putting a high-end runner behind that offensive line with the passing game as it is, assuming Tony Romo is ready to go. I mean, it's a win-now situation. I think that's the best pick they could make.
Can we get the draft board back up? Is it possible if we can get the draft board back up? So this is what I was told. So look at the top four. So I got Ezekiel Elliott going to the Cowboys, right? Mm-hmm. Out of every position.
You have Buckner at three to Chargers.
No. Out of every position. So D-line, quarterback, running back, receiver, secondary guy. Name a guy who's better in your mind than Ezekiel Elliott. Out of any position. That's how you got to start going to these draft meetings and draft boards. Not specifically on needs, but sometimes who's the best available? So is Ezekiel Elliott, is he better than Tunsil? Is he better than Goff? Is he better than Buckner? So that's how
successful franchises best player available.
That's how they do it. So you gonna tell me that Buckner is better than Ezekiel? Great.
I think
Jalen Ramsey is the one that sticks out to me at nine. Yeah. You've got him sliding to nine. And look, I'm not an expert, but I think he's going to go higher than that.
No, he's definitely going to go high. I just felt like he was a better fit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we just trying to make these guys. We talk about these guys so much, so we just try to talk. And then you talk to the coaching staffs or GMs, they wouldn't touch him with a platter.
Well, I keep hearing so of those four, the four guys who are the closest to can't miss are Tunsil out of Ole Miss, the left tackle, Miles Jack out of UCLA, the linebacker, Jalen Ramsey, and Zeke Elliott. Those are the four can't miss guys. I think those should be, in fact, the top four guys off the board. And I think you're getting a little loco. Not you. I think people are getting like trying to fill needs there. Joey Bosa is the guy that looms to me, and I've talked to a lot of scouts about this. Of course, I'm not pretending to know. Yeah, there are a lot of people that are saying, boy, Joey Bosa got hidden in Ohio State a little bit. He might just be just another guy, and you have him dropping all the way to number 11 there in the Bears.
Yeah, no disrespect to Joey, but I feel like he need a Batman. Like, he's the Robin. He's not a Batman. He's a Robin. Hopefully he can prove me wrong or what I'm saying, but I don't feel like he's that guy. So you mean when he come into the locker room, he's just going to present that presence?
Right.
No. I didn't feel that way. So that's why I had him going to Chicago, who I felt need a good defensive lineman, and he can be a Robin over there.
So do you think when you see at Browns, you have the Browns at number two taking Jared Goff, why would they take a QB? Aren't they so flawed that they should, of all the teams out there, taking best player available?
I'm glad you asked me that. Coach Hugh Jackson.
Right. We just talked about it.
He loved competition at the quarterback. Like, a lot of teams like to shy away from competition as a quarterback because you don't want your quarterback, your starting quarterback, to be looking over his shoulder. No, Coach Hugh, like, yeah, I do. So you're going to be on your game every play. So, you know, every practice you got to be on your game because this guy behind you could be our starter too. So looking at it from an RG3 standpoint to Jared Goff, like, that's who I feel like was the best fit, man. We can go to Sam Bradford. So we saying the Philadelphia Eagles should draft a quarterback. We forgot Sam Bradford was a first-round quarterback. That's what we forgot. And they
first
just paid
overall,
him.
Right.
Two for 36. So all of a sudden, I can't say that Cleveland can't pick a first-round quarterback, even though they got a first-round quarterback. Y'all crazy.
I know most people do that. Go ahead.
With those two guys, though, you got Jared Goff, you got Carson Wentz. This is, again, just me. But in the AFC North, with those cold weather games, with the wind, everything else, especially playing in Cleveland, Carson Wentz feels like that big kind of Roethlisberger-type dude.
Yes.
As opposed, Jared Goff, just looking at him, looks a little slight, looks like he might, you know, might not survive. Now,
Windows. The man threw accurate in small windows. Mm-hmm. That's like we looking at the size. Get off the size. What about just the quarterback situation? Look at the tight windows Jared Goff threw the balls in. Them red zone windows where they're super tight. Guys, the windows closes just like this.
Right.
Like, we're looking at, okay, Wentz size and the way he can stand in the pocket in the cold, but if he can't throw in that small tight window, then why I got him? I just feel like Jared Goff is the most right now.
And
ready
the point is that maybe because they got RG3 and because Hugh Jackson's so good at developing quarterbacks, do they actually need to drop a Carson? Like, if they drafted him at two, or if they drop back and manage to get him somewhere else, you know you've got RG3 in the locker room. You know you've got Hugh Jackson who can develop that guy. I agree, and it looks like Goff is the guy who could play better right now.
Right.
But maybe down the line, with the good coaching that Hugh provides, with the fact you've got a relatively proven quarterback, and you know you're not going to win a Super Bowl this year anyway.
Right.
You can maybe bring Carson Wentz.
Yeah, get Christian Hackenberg
now,
at the top
or
of two.
2 years from now, you can
See,
have a guy who's going
to
win.
They got mad at me because I had Carson Wentz going to Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's the same situation with Hugh. You got Bruce Arians, who's a quarterback whisperer. You got Palmer, who's on his way.
He's not going to be around forever.
He's on his way out. Right. And you got a young receiving core over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at best situations. Like, we looking at all top five quarterbacks or top 10 first-round quarterbacks. I'm like, nah, I think this guy would fit perfect with this situation. I'm looking for these people to succeed.
Right.
Not the next 3 years we're going to be talking about Carson Wentz. He's going to be a backup because he went to a bad situation. And we thought because they found the head coach thought, man, I should give me a franchise quarterback. The trend is year after year after year. You get a new head coach. You get a first-round quarterback. Head coach get fired in 3 years. Quarterback becomes a backup.
That's why if I were you, I wouldn't be taking a first-round quarterback. I would take Miles Jack or Jalen Ramsey,
who's
dependably great. we can assume is going to be great. And in the meantime, Hugh leaves Cincy to go to Cleveland, and now he doesn't, it would appear, he's not going to have Josh Gordon either. Josh Gordon ever play in the NFL again, Handsome?
Who knows?
I mean, I guess we don't even know what the situation is. But, yeah, what a way.
He's that good.
He's that good. That was
that six weeks or so that he had.
6 weeks where he was, like, incredible.
It was the alt. I mean, that was the most productive stretch in NFL history, including Megatron or Des Bryant.
Yeah. He's that good.
Yeah.
Like, that young man is that good. Like, between – it would have been between – we would have been saying Des, OBJ, Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would have been talking like that.
Now he and Johnny Football are apparently living somewhere together on Sunset Boulevard. We should try to catch up with them, though. We're in the area.
Let's get them on the show.
Let's try and go to them if we have to Sunset Boulevard.
Black Tide can book that for us.
Yeah, that would be fun. All right, so we'll do that. And now, though, it is time for the all-time draft of 2016 presented by McDonald's Money Monopoly with $100 million or $100 million food and cash prizes. There are more prizes than there are players in the history of the NFL. To bring you up to speed, we're at pick 11 now. Who has pick 11 there, Alex?
Chicago.
Behind the glass. Oh, yeah, the Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears. Mentioned.
So we are the Chicago Bears. Before we jump into that, a refresher here. Same order of the 2016 draft is in place here. The same rosters as they exist right now in 2016 are the same, and therefore the team needs remain the same. We are evaluating these guys as college prospects, not as the Hall of Famers that they went on to become. Of course, that takes all the fun out of it. We have to speculate about how good they might be in the NFL and how what kind of fit they'll make for these 2016 rosters.
Why ain't enough players enough?
We out. Well, because these are the formal picks here, I tell you.
When he says formal, like what he means.
Well, what's Terrell Buckley?
1 through 10, we didn't know. Terrell Buckley did not get drafted from Florida State. Deion Sanders of FSU did. He went to the Jags at number 5. I think he's going to be a good fit there. Jim Brown has been selected by the New York Giants. And here we are up to the Chicago Bears. At pick number 11, today, draft analyst, you can watch him on NFL.com/mock drafts. You can read Ike's, you can read Charles Davis's, Bucky Brooks, Daniel Jeremiah, and so on. Charles Davis is with us today. You can watch him on Path to the Draft and Mock Draft Live. Right now, though, he's giving us the Chicago Bears team needs.
And yes, Chicago, sweet home Chicago, it's finally here. Pick number 11. And your Chicago Bears are on the clock. And when you think of what they need, you can think of offense, maybe offensive line. A Forrest Gregg would fit very well there, allow them to move guys back along the line of scrimmage, back
Forrest
into their
Gregg.
Proper spot. Mm. But I also think that when you're a Chicago Bears fan, nothing excites you more than hearing about defensive personnel. The Monsters of the Midway, the 85 Bears. Defense always appreciated. And they need someone who can get to the quarterback. That's why I think their pick should be from the University of Alabama, an outside linebacker who can absolutely do it all, and that's Derek Thomas. Ooh. He can drop into coverage, but that's a waste of time. Ooh. Have him rush the quarterback. Have him get to people, wreak havoc, cause fumbles, big plays. I think the Chicago Bears should take Derek Thomas from the University of Alabama and make their fans happy.
Handsome, start us off. Where are you? I mean, I think the linebacker situation, they can take the kid out of New Mexico, Brian Urlacher.
Right,
would be
fun. I was thinking there's a guy been playing great for Baylor, Mike Singletary.
Ooh, yeah, I've heard good things.
Just put him in the middle of there, and you don't need to worry about anything.
Ike, how say you?
I hate to say it, but I was thinking about a guy named Ray Lewis out of Miami.
Ooh, there you go. That's a nice pick.
Yeah, good wheels. Great lateral movement, sideline to sideline. He's a beast. With the 11th pick in the all-time draft of 2016, the Chicago Bears select Mean Joe Green, defensive tackle, North Texas. Boy, this guy, small school, don't know a ton about him. But as the nickname indicates, he's pretty nasty.
You know what we should do? We can get Elliot Harrison, who I believe attended the same institution.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. That's right.
Our colleague maybe Elliot give Harrison. Us a scouting report on him.
They say he's pretty good, man. Small school, but time will tell. But they say this guy's pretty good.
Yeah, if he's I think the Chicago fans will appreciate his rugged style and everything else, and he's a real centerpiece for the defense. All right, here we are up to number 12 now. It's the New Orleans Saints. And Charles Davis, what do they need? They have a lot of needs.
And now that the roar has abated a little bit as we get set for pick number 12, the New Orleans Saints are on the clock. And this is a team that needs defense, defense, and more defense. But they also have to look to the future and think to themselves, do they have to get a quarterback in waiting? I know they've done that in the past, but maybe that's still a need for them. Could you imagine if a guy from Mississippi named Archie Manning is still out there?
Huh.
Could the Saints pass on him? We'll see. But I do know this. Defense is what they have to have. Are they going to go at the linebacker position? Heck, Mike Singletary might be around. But if you go into the secondary, where there's a guy who can play multiple positions and make big-time plays, as well as help you in the return game,
Rod Woodson.
I would pick Rod Woodson out of Purdue.
Oh.
There's not anything he can't do in the secondary. And if you go back and watch the last game he played as a collegian, not only did he play defense and make big plays in the old Oaken Bucket game against their big rival Indiana, they also let him play tailback, and he ran for nearly 100 yards in the game. Athlete supreme, if I'm going to select someone, if you're going to pass on an Archie Manning, I think you go get Rod Woodson and plug him right in.
Yeah, I hear this. Rod Woodson's one of the great athletes, you know, that we've ever seen here. Ike Taylor, how say you there?
I totally agree with Mr. Davis. Rod Woodson, man.
That's a good fit, yeah.
Yeah, I've been looking at this table and this guy, man, just playing offense and defense in college, man, that's kind of tough.
Black and gold, just like the Saints wear, so it'll be an easy transition.
Easy transition.
Yeah. Handsome, how say you?
Well, you know what? Woodson, for me, as a Dolphins fan, as the GM of the all-time Dolphins, I'm hoping that he slips past here because I will run the card to the podium to get that cornerback or, you know, guy to play in the secondary and return kicks for Miami. So instead of that, I'd like them to go elsewhere. And I think since Derek Thomas didn't go with the last pick, maybe that's something you could on the defense with, and maybe they ignore Rob Woods.
Charles Davis with an interesting thought. The Ole Miss kid, Archie Manning, the under center. With the 12th pick of the all-time draft of 2016, the New Orleans Saints select Peyton Manning, quarterback.
Whoa!
Tennessee, of course, yes, he's out there. This guy, he, you know, as it turns out, fun fact, he's Archie Manning's child.
Wow.
So
and
it's both
funny.
Playing at the same time.
I know. Well, yeah, I know it's a little confusing there, but the UT kid, you know, people talk a lot about what he's got going on above the neck. Little question, though, about the arm strength. I don't know. Does he have what it takes? Does he have the makeup to get? He could never beat his arch rival, Florida.
Playing in a dome. He doesn't need to worry about cold weather, wind, rain, snow. I think that's a good situation for him. I heard, by the way, I just got a tweet that the Saints had actually tried to trade their entire all-time draft for Ricky Williams. Weren't able to get anyone to bite.
You know what? And this kid is going back home.
He's from New Orleans.
He's from New Orleans. So
oh, well, that's
going
nice
back
for
home.
Him. Good for him. I'm happy for him. All right, so now let's move on to pick number 13 now, and it's the Miami Dolphins. Charles Davis, this is a team with many needs. Handsome, put on your thinking cap.
It's time for pick 13, and the Miami Dolphins hold that selection, and some people see that number as unlucky. I think the Dolphins brass think it's a lucky spot to be because they believe they're going to get a great player in this location. Listen, they need help on the offensive line. Could you imagine getting big Jim Parker out of Ohio State, an absolute mountain of a man who can play the offensive line? If you want to play a little bit of defense, though, get back to the secondary where they need a little bit of help. Darryl Green can flat out fly. His combine, off the charts. Handheld time, under 4.3. Absolutely amazing athlete. Maybe they could go in that direction. But they need a home run hitter. They need someone to support their offense. They need a guy who can tote the rock, make big plays, and frankly, I'm surprised he's lasted this long. I can't believe that he's still on the board. But if they don't run up to the podium and hand in a card that says Barry Sanders, Oklahoma State, they are making a big, big mistake. This guy can do it all, and I'm not sure he got tackled at all in his last year at Oklahoma State. And guess what? You can even have him return kicks if you need some extra points that way.
All right, interesting thoughts. Handsome, I turn to you, though. I really want you to make the pick with your heart and your head here.
Well, I mean, I already tipped it. I'm Rob Woodson. Here's my card. I'm running up to the commissioner right now. I want to hand this over.
There's no way that you
say no to Rob Woodson.
As it stands, you might even use him at running back.
Right. The Jags should have taken – he's the best cornerback out there. The Jags should have taken him over that Sanders guy.
The Dolphins are a team that has a lot of needs, though, Ike.
You know, I was pondering. something just came to me. I was thinking, last name, man, from out of Pittsburgh, man, quarterback, last name Marino. First
man. Yeah, he's right over your shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had some troubles in college, though.
Yeah, he has. But you know what, man? Sometimes when these guys with a few character issues, that mean they care.
Mm-hmm. They got a lot of money tied up in Ryan Tannehill.
And yeah. as chance would have it, it is the 13th pick. Danny Ooh. Marino wears the number 13. Yeah, go. I'm hoping the
Does
Steelers
he?
Can get him. He's a hometown kid.
Yeah,
went from Pittsburgh, went to school there.
Makes
It'd
sense.
Be nice. Yeah, so anyway, with the 13th pick in the all-time draft of 2016, the Miami Dolphins select Barry Sanders, running back, Oklahoma State. Forget it, Rod Woodson. 21. Going to be toting the ball for your team. I think you're going to like this guy.
I like
he broke
it.
Every
I like
record
I get
down there.
I see what they're trying to do. I see what they're trying to do. Give Tannehill the weapons, put them around him. Defense, no. address it later. Maybe no. get Ike Taylor in round two.
You know what? When I you should have got me in the first round. But when I look at this guy right here, man, the first thing that come to my mind, I nickname him Special.
Oh, it's a good name.
Yeah, I just nicknamed him Special, man. Just every time we get on that field, it's just special.
You think big things in store for
So I tried to call my cable company, ask my cable company, every time Oklahoma State is playing, man, can I just get Barry Sanders Special? Mm-hmm. So that's why I just named him Special.
Some gargantuan number, like 2,600 yards in his last season down there for the Cowboys. I think he's a home run hitter. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not a banger now. He's not if I were to compare him to, let's say, Jim Brown out of Syracuse,
not
who always
guy.
Falls
he's
for,
not that
for
guy.
3 or 4 yards. But, yes, he might now be.
What I say, when you have a guy who you can't compare somebody else with, just call him Special.
That's a good way
like
of looking
it. Do
at
Do you think
it.
He's going to have a long career?
I suspect he will. Yeah,
right.
He doesn't take a lot of direct shots, so I think he might play 15 seasons,
16
something
seasons.
Like that. Yeah,
nice.
Might has a chance
that's
to break
special.
Some records.
When it's over 10, that's special shit.
We are up to the Oakland Raiders here with the 14th pick now. Charles Davis, what are the Raiders' needs? This is a team on the
At
rise.
At pick number 14, it's time for the Oakland Raiders, and we all know what Al Davis used to say all the time about playing defense for the Raiders. The quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard. Well, in this case, the Raiders are thinking about protecting their quarterback. Could they draft an offensive tackle? Could a Jonathan Ogden out of UCLA be in play there? But if they want to play a little bit of offense, there's a running back that, you know, I'm going to date myself a little bit here. I played against him, Bo Jackson, who can do absolutely everything. Bo knows how to put the ball in the end zone, run through people, catch it, do whatever you want. And frankly, I think you can play him on defense and he'd be equally effective. But this is the Raiders, and I think that they build themselves, pride themselves on defense, commitment to excellence. Well, heck, let's go out and play more of that press man. Don't let anyone off the line of scrimmage, and don't let them downfield. There's one guy who does it as well as anyone who's ever done it and is going to do it even better when he gets to the NFL, and that is Mel Blount.
Ooh.
Absolutely enormous corner. Now he matches up with those big receivers. Mm. Mel Blount, press corner. Grab him if you're the Oakland Raiders. I know it's hard to pass on Bo Jackson, but the Raiders like to play defense, and Mel Blount will provide that for them.
I don't know who this Blount character is, but I think that Rod Woodson, like we've talked about, he's another one that I've enjoyed watching. Yeah, fixing that cornerback spot, though, like seems like a good move for them.
Yeah, I was thinking, I like Mel Blount. I heard of this guy. I did some scouting. I like his potential.
Tall. He's like 6'4".
He's a big corner, but I had another big corner, man, Night Train Lane.
Mm.
They got a guy named Night Train Lane, man. You talking about a guy who's all attitude? I'm talking about he's pissed off at the world. When he used the bathroom, it's hot. You know what I'm saying? So I got to go with Night Train Lane on this one. I like that pick, Night Train Lane, at the cornerback position.
How do you feel there?
I know that their scouts have done a lot of work on an LSU quarterback, Jamarcus Russell. Mm. I think they really have fallen in love with this kid.
Seems like a weird and double down.
Doesn't matter. I think, you know, they believe that he can be the next big thing. Really
I don't
big.
Know what that
really,
means for
really
Derek Carr,
thing.
But
really big thing.
Maybe draft day trade. I don't know. Oh, we have the pick. With the 14th pick in the all-time draft of 2016, the Oakland Raiders select Bo Jackson, running back, Auburn. Boy, this guy is a load. He reminds me sort of, if you can recall watching Herschel Walker at Georgia, he's similar in that in the sense that he is the biggest guy on the football field. He might be the fastest guy on the football field. I just wonder if he can focus in because he's really good, apparently, at baseball. He's good at track. I don't know if he can focus in on just football.
He's a faster, smaller, but runs with that same attitude of an Earl Campbell.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good
So he's
that's
an upgraded
nice
version.
So he's a banger on top of everything else.
Earl Campbell's still available.
Earl Campbell of Texas is available. Maybe he goes at number 15 here. The Los Angeles Rams, unlikely to take him. They have the rookie star Todd Gurley coming out of Georgia to bring it back to those great Georgia running backs. Charles Davis, tell us what you think the Rams should do here.
At pick number 15, the Los Angeles Rams, they're looking for a high flyer who can play out on the perimeter. And guess what? Mississippi Valley stage Jerry Rice would be a perfect guy to have. But even more than that, you got to have someone who can throw him the football. And if you're the Rams right now, you've got to have someone at that position. You've got to have a trigger guy. When the Rams have played their best offense, they've had a quarterback who can get the ball downfield. That's why I think they'll have to make a decision about some guys who can flat out play. And this time I think they'll go to the left side. Steve Young out of BYU, a tremendous athlete who can play running back as well, but really is really ideal as a quarterback. I think Steve Young goes to the Los Angeles Rams, and they start their era again with a new quarterback, this time flinging it from the port side.
Steve Young in L.A.? I don't know. I don't know if that's a good moving from Utah to California. Handsome. What do you think here?
Ike's mentioned him already. The guy that I like in this position is Dan Marino. I really feel like he's got that Hollywood type of vibe to him, and I think he's going to
fit. Oh, right, Tavon Austin flying up the sideline.
That would be sideline, Marino. I think that, to me, it's a no-brainer.
Interesting. Ike, how say you?
They had a kid out of Southwest Louisiana, man, a guy named Ike Taylor.
That's really strange.
Heard of him.
Very strange.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he special?
Well, they did lose Janoris Jenkins, so they have a need there.
They say he's beyond special, man. They got a new word with this new technology coming out, man. They call it Wi-Fi, where he's just out of this world.
Right.
Yeah, so they say this guy's kind of out of this world. So I'm going to go with Ike Taylor, Southwest Louisiana cornerback. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Funny, I never heard of him. With the 15th pick in the all-time draft of 2016, the L.A. Rams select Steve Young, quarterback, BYU.
Charles Davis on the money again.
Yeah, well, you know what? He doesn't have the greatest arm in the history of football, but he runs around well. Obviously, in temperate Los Angeles, that won't be a major factor for him. I like it. Steve Young goes to the Rams. We'll see if he can elevate his game. BYU, the big question with them is, who are they really playing?
True.
You know, now he's going to have to play those Seahawks and those
At the
Cardinals.
Same time, Shaq, when you got a quarterback who can also play running back, it tells me one thing, he's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think that's what the Rams need to go back to, that toughness. So I like this guy.
All right, we'll see if Cam Newton's thrown or his position as the greatest running quarterback in NFL history can sustain itself with this guy making it to the league. That's it for the all-time draft of 2016. Picks 11 through 15 presented by McDonald's. Money Monopoly, great stuff from you, Ike Taylor. And Handsome Hank, and speaking of great, another guy who's going to come off the board. Some people speculating second round. I think ultimately people are going to come to their senses. You're going to see this kid go at the back end of the first round. The talent is too great. In spite of the foot speed, that's one of the things we're talking about here. Pitt standout wideout, Tyler Boyd. Here's my conversation with him.
You listen to Dave Damashek.
I wear it on my sleeve, and I'm not going to apologize for being excited about this fella and his future in the NFL from my beloved Pitt Panthers, Tyler Boyd. What's happening, man?
How you doing? Thanks for y'all having me.
Well, listen, it's a pleasure to see you, and like I say, I expect big things from you. Let's start with the elephant in the room or whatever, the knock on you that people have with you, foot speed. How do you, if somebody says to you, we want to take you, but we're worried about the foot speed, Tyler?
Well, you know, I'm not a guy that judges off the rip until you actually see me compete against guys on the field, you know, so all I would tell them is, if you take a chance with me and pick me, then you won't be disappointed in no type of way.
Why number 23? As a wide receiver, it's weird.
It was just the first number available for me my freshman year of high school. You know, all the other low numbers was taken by the older guys, you know, and I just wanted to do something new, and I just hung out with that number throughout the rest of
Well, what are we going to do in the NFL then? You're not going to get 23 there.
13, 12, 83, something like in that kind with 12 or three, 2 or 3 in it.
Well, let's not be cavalier about this now. This is an important decision.
True.
If things go right, like 15 years from now, you know, it's right, going to be right. Iconic. Tyler Boyd, I want his jersey. Got to be a cool number.
Right. Nah, any number will suit me. You know, I'll make any number. You know, I don't complain about a number. You know, I'm just going to go out there and do what I got to do and make anything.
All right. But 13 Odell Beckham has. Right. So then you don't want to be like your let's not do that
Let's not do that.
What about 11?
11.
Well, then that's 15, Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, true. Or 15 is nice. I'm trying to stay kind of low here, like 10.
Yeah, I like it seems like this generation looks better with a single digit than with the classic 8 or something. But 88 isn't too bad. You're a Pittsburgh guy, obviously. Right. Lynn Swan, you can't do much better than that. What about, let's say that your football deeds are so great, 50 years from now they decide they're going to make the Boyd Trophy, like the Heisman Trophy. What's the pose?
That's a great question there. I don't got no ideas right now. I'm going blank right now.
You do so much. Maybe that's what your head's swimming because you do so much out there. You run the ball. You throw it pretty well. Maybe that's what it is. We, like, give you, like, Vishnu, a bunch of arms. Like, one's throwing the ball, one's carrying it, two hands catching it. Something like that?
Yeah.
All right, let's work on that one a little bit. Do you, as a Pittsburgh guy, do you know the Three Rivers?
Monongahela.
That's the hard one. Al Allegheny.
Allegheny.
They converged to form the Ohio. Here's why you're getting tripped up as a Pittsburgh guy. The Ohio convert, you know, the Monongahela and Allegheny converge in Pittsburgh, not in Ohio.
Right.
Why do they get credit for our river?
Our river, right.
It's the only thing that bum state has going for it, and it forms in our city. Shouldn't it be, maybe in 20 years, it could be the Boyd River, I'll say you.
Yeah, that would be pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I think we should keep that option open. I think for now it could be the Steel Curtain River, but Ohio taking credit for our glorious river.
I gotta change that up.
Do you have any food recommendations for me? I'm a Pittsburgh guy as well. What's your favorite? Do you like the O? Do you like Primanti's?
Yeah, Primanti's, the O. What's the pizza shop? Wait on
Minio's.
What is it called?
Minio's.
Romano's.
Oh, yeah.
Romano's. Romano's.
People like that. They also go ILO's, but I go Minio's.
That's good there, too.
Yeah, I think that's probably number one. Now, Chicago is, of course, the site of the draft, and there are a lot of people that are speculating that you're going to be a first-round pick. Are you going to go to the draft, or will you stay in Pittsburgh with the family? Because this is a very important decision
right
in front of you.
I really haven't made that decision, but I'm leaning a little bit towards staying home with my family because I got a big family home, and then you can only bring a certain amount of people to the draft, you know. And I'm uncertain if I'm gonna go first round, second round, so I don't want to be there for 2 days, you know. If I don't go, then start feeling like, oh man, why not go? Why not do this or that, you know? So I'll probably just stay home, stick with my family.
I mean, I don't know how, you know, you're a young guy, but do you remember Brady Quinn and Aaron Rodgers? To this day, we still see shots of them at the draft sitting there waiting, like impatiently.
You know, Smith, all of them guys.
You don't want to be that guy, right?
The camera's all up in your face. People looking like, oh man.
You have to look stressed out. And if you look like you're having fun, then it's like, well, this kid's not taking it seriously.
Then you can't really be yourself because you're so mad, pumped up, ready to hear your name get called just because you're there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Maybe, and if you're in Pittsburgh, you just order up a Romano's pizza or a Minio's and serve it. Maybe that's what you could do. You could have a pizza contest. You could order all the best pizzas of Pittsburgh and have the whole family taste test them.
Have a vote and see which one is better.
Yeah. Jon Snow, Game of Thrones, you a fan?
Not really.
You don't watch that. Okay, I'm going to skip that one. You watch Walking Dead?
Walking Dead.
Who'd Negan kill? Who do you think he could? Did you watch the episode a few days ago?
No, I didn't see the most recent one.
Oh, you didn't see the finale? Spoiler alert, Dave. There's
yeah,
a new
see, I'm
character.
On that, OJ versus People. That's what I was on.
And what do you think of that one?
I loved it, man. It really put me up to date with history, you know, because I really didn't know much about it because it was going around the time when I was just being born, you know, so it's a great little history lesson.
It really, yeah, it was. I mean, that it all is pretty much the way it looked in that TV show. What do you think of Travolta, though?
It was pretty good, you know, just to see different things and see how things were set up before I was even a thought of, you know.
What if they make a movie of your life? Who do you hope plays you?
That's a tough question there. I can't. I don't know. It's again. You know, I'm all over the place. I can't really.
I'm trying to think of who. I'm giving you a look, and I'm trying to get a read on who might suit you best.
A lot of people call me. You watch Empire?
A little bit. I've seen, you know, a little bit of it.
I'm trying to remember his name. The son, the youngest son, who's trying to take over the Empire. A lot of people call me him.
Is that right?
I like funny. It.
Now let's get to our questionnaire. All the draft guys who've come through here. Inside the Actors Studio does this. This is supposed to get at the core of who you are, of your soul. What's your favorite word, Tyler?
Levels.
Levels.
Talk to them. That's them are my hashtags.
Oh, interesting. What's your least favorite word? Least favorite word.
Least favorite word.
Second round.
We can go with that.
What turns you on, creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Creatively. You know, I like being creative, touring new things, seeing new things, you know, getting out. Not seeing a lot of boring things, you know, because Pittsburgh get it kind of boring from time to time, you know, getting out, coming to L.A., touring that. It's pretty much a good setup.
Well, it's drizzly and gray, so we delivered some Pittsburgh-style weather for you.
I brought that weather with me, man.
I know. That's a shame. I'm sorry about that on behalf of everyone here in Los Angeles. What profession other than football would you like to attempt?
Pretty much anything in the business. You know, just do anything involved in business, like coming up with a shoe deal, working with any brand, you know, like Nike, or you're getting in any organization like that.
What profession would you never want to have? How about nose tackle? That seems like that wouldn't be fun at all. You don't get any credit. All you do is you have to consume all the blockers, and then everybody else gets the glory.
Yeah.
You're a glory guy. You're the guy who goes up and gets
it.
What is it? So what sense have you gotten from talking to the scouts and the personnel guys? Well, first of all, what have they asked you any? It's like a stereotype at this time of year that these guys ask weird questions. Did you get any of those weird kind of questions?
I really didn't get a lot of weird questions. There was one question I got when I was meeting with the Bengals at the Combine, had a formal meeting with them. They would start talking about Civil War and when some other stuff. I wasn't even sure. I just looked at them just like the questions you asked me. I'm like, I don't know. I'm unsure. I'm thinking we about to just talk football. I guess they just trying to see where your head is, you know, outside of football a little bit, see how smart you is, see if you got good brains.
Do you care? Because this is fans like me. Think like, well, you're from Pittsburgh. You want to be a Steeler, right?
Right.
You won't. Will there be any moment of like, the Bengals? If that happens, or will you be like, woohoo? You know?
Yeah, I feel you. If I was to go to the Bengals, I think a lot of people wouldn't.
Well, because of the helmet alone, the uniforms are no good.
That's a rival for the Steelers, you know. So me coming in playing against my hometown, you know, trying to beat them, you know, some people would. Would still support me, but they still go with the Steelers, you know, just because the hometown team. But they would still be supportive.
Well, I got to tell you, man, I really, if you weren't at Pitt, I would still say as much. I mean, you got that football. You know, people always say that John Madden growing up, like he's a football player, but really, you cut that sort of Hines Ward for a Pittsburgh guy. You know, can throw the ball, can take the ball out of the backfield on a handoff or whatever. Are you looking to be that sort of player? Are you looking to be sort of used in that more expanded kind of role? I don't want to say Cordell Stewart or something like that, but are you looking to be used sort of as a hybrid, a guy who they maybe take some handoffs and maybe once in a while does get to throw it?
Definitely, you know, because that would just involve me in the role much quicker, you know, get me more acclimated, get me more comfortable in that program, you know, make me feel a lot relief. You know, and I feel like I can do it all. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be nervous to do it. You know, if they did it, had to let me do that, then I would do it great.
Well, listen, in the last 15 years, there are a lot of good guys that have played in the NFL that came out of Pitt. You know, I know I don't have to tell you who they are, but there's some guys that really elevated at the next level, and I sincerely expect that you're about to do the same here. Enjoy the process, whether you're in Pittsburgh or Chicago and beyond. Even if you wind up in Cincinnati, I'll be rooting for you.
All right,
Tyler Boyd, everybody. Number 23, maybe number 11. I don't know. We're going to figure that out, too.
Dave, dee-da-da-da-da-da-don't-don't, Dave.
Hey, look who's still here. Tyler Boyd. You like him going high first round? Ike, I didn't see him anywhere on your mock draft there.
Yeah. On my new one, I got him going.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. And it's kind of crazy. I got him going to Pittsburgh.
In the first round? Whoa. Does Ike Taylor know something about the way the Pittsburgh
Look at
Steelers
that smile. He knows something.
You know what I'm saying? Martavius, huh? You know, they still love Martavius, but – at the 25th position?
Why do you call him Martavius?
I just like saying Martavius.
you sound like two-thirds of the people in Pittsburgh. Dude, Martavius, dude. Roethlisberger and Martavius. Yeah, if you know something, I'll be very happy if that's the way things shake out. There are a lot of smoke screens, though, if that's the case, because I haven't heard any speculation that Pittsburgh's going to do anything but secondary is what everybody says, and maybe D-line.
They're going best available. Like, just if you can just scroll. So if you put all your positions, offensive line, defensive line, receivers, anybody from the secondary, running backs, and get your top five and just start checking names out. Don't check by position. Mm-hmm. So don't go by the team needs. Just look at the best available, and that's who they're going to draft. The best available.
It served them well over the years, of course, and that would be a fascinating one if they do keep him. I like everything about him, the foot speed, as we discussed, as you hear
there. Had a workout for him.
Did they?
Yes.
Well, Ike Taylor seems to know something. I'm going to be intrigued now as we run up to the draft. We'll be with Ike and Handsome and everybody in Chicago in a couple weeks, and we'll be back with another podcast for you later in the week. In the meantime, great stuff from Tyler Boyd, Ike, and Handsome Hank. We'll talk to you later. Thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.